Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on Monday evening, June 25th. I'm your humble host, PK, and I'm here every Monday evening here on BBSRadio.com, Station 2. That would be 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern. And as I am always wont to do, I shall now pay homage to the suits in the office at BBS Radio and thank them for promoting free speech and a free press, free minds, and free markets. And as I always do, I praise and give my secular thanks to alternative radio and alternative media. Thank goodness. Because without them, it would be just more of the same mainstream corporate Zionist controlled, very slanted media, which I knew it was manipulated a bit, but not as much as I've learned lately about how much the elites, this oligarchic elite we have and their levers of government control what we see and hear mainstream-wise, which is why they don't like the internet or want to be able to regulate it. So I talk about this frequently, but it affects everybody's freedom. And now information travels a split second. I mean, somebody in India or China or Peru or the North Pole can know immediately through email, for example. In addition to, as it were, the phone call. But now, with the advent of the internet, it's so easy to send a message, send information. And yes, there's a lot of dubious things out there too, but as you learn how to sift through it, you see more of the pertinent stuff to our daily lives, and which is why governments want to control their stupid little secrets, which is why Julian Assange, in my humble yet all-knowing opinion, is pretty much a hero for publishing these government lies and their little secrets and exposing more about state power and control. And so he was seeking asylum in, I believe it was Ecuador, and because they want to take him back to Sweden for supposedly some sex charges, which I think are trumped up, an excuse to get at him. I mean, the U.S., the pricks in the federal government want him. I've heard idiots like O'Reilly say that he should be executed for treason. Hey, Billo, Julian Assange is not even an American citizen. How could he be tried here for treason? Dumbass, or anybody who thinks like that. I mean, you know, that reminds my reasoning about Obama being a Muslim. And by the way, I can't stand Obama for his policy reasons, not because of that dark skin he has, that darker skin that he has. He has a white mama anyway. But anyway, where was I on Obama? Lost my train of thought there. But anyway, the controllers, those who don't want the information to get out there, yes, we supposedly have a free press, but they manipulate it, heavy CIA manipulation. So let me say hi to all those schmucks from the CIA who are listening, NSA, FBI, all those government pricks who hate shows like mine, who hate what I stand for, who would rather not have me on the networks, and heaven forbid on a large scale show. They would never give that because I'm too radical as far as the search for truth. I'm not afraid to criticize Israel and Zionism, and I cut to the chase about a lot of these problems. We just had the tragic story of that fool, Jerry Sandusky. Good old Jerry from Penn State, like to shower with those young boys. So, as bad as he was and his heinous crimes, they pale in comparison, actually, to Eric Holder and the quote-unquote Justice Department, what they did with their stupid Fast and Furious, getting so many innocent people killed in Mexico, providing arms to the cartels, all in the guise of tracing the guns to the evil drug cartels. Well, you know, there's been, what, something like 40,000 people killed in Mexico in the last 5 years due to the stupid U.S.-imposed drug war. So, again, as bad as Jerry's crimes were, he didn't kill those young boys. He, you know, he may have scarred them for life and gave them some serious emotional issues. And, you know, all that is a sad, tragic thing. But he didn't provide guns, knowingly provide guns to drug dealers and criminals in order to trace them. I mean, if you or I did that, what charges would they throw at us? Well, when you got a costume and a badge, or you're a government employee big shot, you can get away with that crap. So, I mean, that's a real travesty, this Fast and Furious. And they're trying to say, well, it happened under the Bush administration, too. Well, I don't give those idiots a pass either. I didn't die at all of them. What? So the reasoning of a Holder and the U.S. Justice Department is, well, Bush did it, too. It started with them. We just did it less, basically, as if they're, you know, if that excuses them, you know. So, again, to me, they're pretty much the same, the Republicrats and the Demopubs. They only differ in how much they want to spend. They basically support everything except how much they want to spend. I would say the main difference is probably abortion, but everything else. You know, Obama signed the largest military budget ever, you know, so, you know, he's a big pro-military spending sort of guy. And neither side wants to cut from defense. You know, as I like to say, this massive defense budget keeps sucking up precious investment capital from the other private sector needs, which are much more important than, you know, just the military, because if it weren't for the private sector, you know, there wouldn't be much of a military with all its high-tech gears and whatnot. And the great Ludwig von Mises said that that as far as militarism goes, it's not so much inventing new powerful weapons, you know, more weapons per se. It's the spirit of conquest and, of course, much intervention. So that is the root problem. And, of course, it's all wrapped up in patriotism. So we'll all buy into their war schemes. But as I pull the curtain back, I realize how phony a lot of these wars were and how where they started from, the U.S. wars, and how unnecessary they were. You know, as a kid, I used to play Army, and I liked war movies, and yeah, the U.S. is, you know, beating the bad guys. But I, you know, of course, I was younger. I was more naive. And I'm talking about even before I wasn't a teenager, before I was a teenager. You know, it was us against them. And, you know, not that I was a flag-waving nut, but, you know, I thought it was the good old USA against the bad guys. Well, come to find out, there's so many lies about all of it. The Gulf of Tonkin incident with the Vietnam War, which Jesse Ventura speaks of. And he's a Vietnam vet. So come to find out, a lot of this stuff is staged, or the politicians, you know, the head of the class politicians, they enable things to happen. And that's why we get, remember the Maine, World War One, World War Two, the supposed sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, then the Korean intervention, police action. It's not that I'm a pacifist per se, I'm very pro-gun, but there's no need to lie to our troops and to the public and get them banging the war drums to distract them from other problems or to serve the agenda's regime. Sorry, the regime's agenda, the military-industrial complex, you know, the whole war apparatus. That's why every recruit should read, before they are allowed to sign up, they should read Smedley Butler's, it would be Major General Smedley Butler, Marine Corps General's War is a Racket, detailing his accounts of the interventions he was on from World War One to being in Haiti, probably maybe the Dominican Republic, all these other things that he took part in. And he realized, he was like, I was a bag man for the American Fruit Company or this and that in you know, Central America. So it wasn't so much, you know, he was defending the U.S., and I never buy into that now. I don't think it's about that at all, defending the U.S. I think it's about defending a globalist empire. I know we have to have a military, but this whole massive war machine, you know, intervening throughout the world. You know, civil wars and civil strife are pretty much just the way of life around the world somewhere. It can't all be stamped out. It's just like drugs or obesity. You're still going to have these problems, and you can't micromanage everything. You can't get rid of everything. It's just not going to work. It's just like full employment. It'll never work. Some people that can't work, some people that don't want to work, you know, it's never going to be 100%. And speaking of full employment, that is laughingly, supposedly, one of the Fed's duties is to achieve a stable price level and work towards full employment. Both laughable, especially when you have the Federal Reserve now. Well, we've known this for a while, but they're bailing out Europe. They're still doing more of the same, you know. And it, whenever you hear the phrase, the tragic phrase, quantitative easing, that means more inflation, more credit inflation, more expanding paper money, backed by nothing except Uncle Sam's promise to pay. Wow. I'll take that any day. So much for that. We've had some bad weather in the Florida area, relentless rain. I don't know if that's global warming, but some prominent global warming backers. I read about one yesterday. I've written his name down. I don't recall, but he's sort of backtracking on the whole global warming thing when he saw some of the historical examples of the ice core and this and that, and I think they might have jumped the gun. But I could admire that if they'll own up to their hysteria and their, what I think a lot of is junk science. It just bothers me that they exclude the multitude of scientists who don't buy into this global warming canard, chimera, whatever you call it. And I didn't buy into it from the first place because my theory on it was always, well, how do you explain global warming before industrialization, before all the cars and the evil smokestacks? You know, how do you account for it then? And they don't have much of a solid answer, you know. So I believe that climate change, that allows for global cooling too. I believe that the climate change crowd it's basically a secular religion. And they're putting emotion over reason and, you know, demonizing fossil fuels. Now, I want a clean environment too, and I want things to be made cleaner. I know that gasoline burns cleaner now, or oil, than it did years in the past. I know that coal is dirty. I would think they could supply high-tech coal scrubbers. You know, detax these companies. Let them spend their money on research and development and pollution technology. I mean, all the big companies, most of them, as far as I know, have environmentalists on their payrolls. It's not like they're not trying to do something about it. And even the super rich, the super wealthy elitists that I despise, the Bilderberger hierarchy, the trilateralists, the CFR, the Rockefeller, Bush, Rothschild, Illuminati crowd, that whole bunch, there's no escaping the environment for them either. I mean, whatever is put in the air, they're going to, you know, they breathe the same air. That's one thing they can't control. And, I mean, food supplies, unless they have, and I don't think the elite travel or, you know, are that particular about what they eat, unless it's a certain convention like Bilderbergers, or they're probably very concerned about what the food is. But, I mean, generally, they're subject to the same food supply. So if, in fact, they are behind more pollution or messing things up, they can't escape from it either. And before I go on with my wisdom and my outtakes on things, let me say that in case anybody wants to call in from my multitudes, my millions of listeners, if anybody wants to call in, the number here is 888-429-5471. I'll be speaking to my friend Andy in a few, but in the meantime, I'm happy to talk about some world events and my take on things. The election's heating up between the two puppets, Obama and Romney. O'Romney or Rambama, who have very little difference between them, both pro-TSA, pro-drug war, pro-war, pro-empire, pro-expanding military budget, pro-Gitmo, pro-quote-unquote Patriot Act, pro-military detentions. Can you believe that crap? Pro-interventionism, pro-TARP, pro-bailouts, pro-stimulus package, pro-Federal Reserve. So, you know, I see very little difference. At this point, since Dr. Paul is sort of fizzling out, although he's going to go to the convention, I'm sure, hope he can make a stink there, but I'll be most likely supporting the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. You know, he's not my 100% Libertarian cup of tea, but he's much better than the others. I would hope that he wouldn't ever cave to the Israeli lobby and AIPAC, and that he'd keep his word about not invading Iran. I hope he would keep all the troops home and, you know, end the drug war, decriminalize. So he has a pretty good record as governor of Arizona. He vetoed a lot of legislation. I think he may have vetoed over 100 pieces of legislation. So that's pretty good in my book. And he was reelected. I think he served two terms. And he is in a largely Democrat area. Now, we don't hear much about him. Of course, the globalists don't want him. Because when they have their willing puppet, regime player, Romney and Obama, as were willing, very willing servants, George Bush, and, of course, Clinton's globalist, having studied under Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope, which explains his being allowed to examine the papers and the info of the globalist crowd, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, that whole one world clique. And the most despicable thing I think about Quigley is that he condoned it. He just wished it was more out in the open. But he says, and this is very true, that what they try to do is manipulate everybody so that they think there's really two parties when there's really only one. You know, there's basically no difference between the two. Even the late, great George Wallace said that, I think around 67 or 68. He said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the parties. And as I see it, there really isn't. There are the, you know, you could say the Republicans are the warfare welfare state, and the Democrats are the welfare warfare state. Regardless of who's in office, the welfare state, the warfare welfare state, or the welfare warfare state proudly marches forward, endlessly marches forward. So that's what we have to contend with. The massive welfare warfare state. Both sides promote it. They keep it going. But as Ron Paul says, it's going to come to an end. You know, all this printing of money, spending beyond our means, borrowing beyond our means. I mean, it's crazy. Any regular, I would guess, middle-class person should figure that out, should know that, you know, it cannot be sustained. And like Ron Paul says, I mean, I'm in agreement with him because I'm a gradualist. I would like to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, but not throw people out on the street. I would like to get rid of it and replace it with a market-based competitive system with no barriers to market entry and getting the government out of it and intervening in most things, because so much government intervening in rules and laws and mandates has complicated healthcare so much, you know, it's surprising it works at all. Despite all this regulation, useless regulation, needless regulation, the healthcare system still seems to function. Not nearly as well as it could. But Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, those are vote-buying schemes. And, of course, Social Security is a pyramid Ponzi scheme, a vote-buying pyramid Ponzi scheme that Roosevelt pushed on the country in 1935 and 36. And now they're bankrupt. The government borrows – I mean, the government – raided Social Security, the trust fund, and used it for other things. It just shows you how they can't manage money. So I would shore those three things up, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, while working on a way to phase them out. In terms of health care, I would prefer everybody, you know, the poor and indigent, they would get vouchers they could use for the health care of their choice. And that could come out of a general tax fund in each state or whatever, you know, a micro tax situation. But there'll be less poverty anyway with a truer free market economy. You just can't focus on one aspect of it. It's a multi-pronged approach. And that's why the great PK here, being a pretty much self-taught free market economist, student of the free market, I know that what's good about, especially being a free market economist like a Ron Paul, is that it gives you an overview of society and how the world functions or should function, and how business firms should function, not from a command economy authoritarian position, but from a market-based outlook. And what complicates economics even further is, unlike the physical sciences – or even, you know, sociology and psychology, but unlike even, say, geography, physics, math, chemistry, biology, all these sorts of things, geology, those disciplines of science are not constantly subject to the lobbying and whining and pressure of special interest groups or pressure groups. Economics is. So we would rather be neutral. I don't take a side of business or labor, although I am not pro-business per se. I am pro-free enterprise, and I am definitely not pro-union, but I am pro-employee. Now, many people might have that trouble figuring that out, but I'm pro-employee in the sense that I want them to do well, to earn well. I don't want a central government with its central bank, the Federal Reserve, destroying the purchasing power of the employees' earnings, their money, their dollars. And in a real competitive economy where insurance companies play a big role in health and safety and industry, there's not so much of a need for unions because I think they're very monopolistic and anti-competitive. And in a real free market society, if you don't like your boss, you don't like the company, you can leave. You can, you know, seek employment elsewhere. Which, by the way, is something you can't do to the military. You can't resign from the military if you don't like it, even though it's a volunteer military. Yeah, they know what they're getting into. Yeah, but why should they be lied into wars, and used to prop up a massive government regime, empire, with over 1,000 military bases in over 140 foreign countries? What's that all about? That's not in the U.S. Constitution. You know, nowhere is that in the U.S. Constitution. So these all these things that are bankrupting the country, and they keep expanding the military and the military budget. You know, and now they're playing cat and mouse with China. You know, they're ganging up on China. Oh, and those evil Russians. Well, I think Russia's, you know, almost has the moral high ground with the U.S. Now, how dare the U.S. talk about, for example, China's human rights violations after what the federal government did to Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and what they're doing to Syria, not to mention what they did to Panama, what the feds did to Vietnam and Korea. So that's where the problems are. The U.S. federal government is my enemy. I don't have a problem with Russia or China. It's China's century. And I'm glad that Russia's helping out Iran and Syria. You know, Uncle Sam wants to be the Lord and Master of the world, and that's not what the Constitution says. We don't want that. No empire. So that's what we have to contend with. And I don't like what's happening to our country. I mean, I know a lot of people don't, but I'm real unhappy with what's going on. And I don't see it getting better. I see it getting worse. And the election, I don't think will change things that much. I mean, they're trying to say that Romney is you know, the better choice. He's going to do something about unemployment because he has his he's a job creator. But he doesn't understand about the Federal Reserve, central banking. He's not very good on history. I mean, his geography is probably pretty lame. He doesn't know economics. He's such a stuffed shirt. I mean, I can't stand Obama, but I can't stand Romney. Fortunately, Gary Johnson I like a lot more than that idiot, those two idiots they ran in 2008, former congressman, drug warrior Bob Barr, who sort of renounced some of his drug policies, and that idiot Zionist Wayne Root, pro-war Jewish Zionist neocon for vice president. You know, that to me said, nah, hell with that. I don't want to be in the Libertarian Party. So I'm a registered Republican, but I'm, you know, I still support libertarianism. That's why I was very much enthused for Ron Paul, who represents the libertarian wing of the Republican Party, which is where the Republican Party should be. My biggest difference with Dr. Paul is about abortion and euthanasia. I think it's anybody's right to check out how they want to check out, leave our world. And as far as abortion, I'm pro-life, but sorry, definitely not. I am pro-choice. But I will become pro-life as soon as God and or nature stops with all the heartbreaking, gut-wrenching miscarriages, which is the body's own abortion. So if God and or nature want to keep pushing abortions through through the body's own abortion mechanism, then I'm going to maintain my pro-choice position. However, there is some technology I have heard about several years ago. I don't know where it stands now, but it might be possible in the future that an unwanted pregnancy could be surgically removed and put into a welcoming donor's body, preferably female, of course. Although I wonder if the gays would, challenge that. Well, I want to be pregnant too. But anyway, a little gay humor there for you. Very little gay humor. But on this show, there is no political correctness, and I speak my mind, and any guest is welcome to speak their mind too. So that's basically where I differ with Dr. Paul. But I just think he should have been more combative, and I wished I could have coached him a bit on some of the key phrases, because I tried to in 2007 – I spoke to the main office a bit, and I offered him my own dime if I could, accompany him for a day and just, coach him a little bit, hip him to some key phrases. I don't know where his handlers are, but they could have done a much better job because, I mean, let's face it, a lot of this campaigning and these debates, it is involved. There's no separating it. It is part of show business, although it has a deeper message, hopefully, unless Gingrich, Obama, Romney and Santorum are speaking, or as I like to say, Sanitarium. So I wish that Dr. Paul would have been more not only combative, but more standing his ground and coming out of the gate a little stronger each time. And I asked him, I gave him a note in September. I saw him at a convention at one of the debates, and I gave a typed out note that said, please stop saying we, when he's talking about, say, Iraq, Afghanistan, different wars, for example, or just general interventionisms. I said, Dr. Paul, please stop saying we. Say the federal government or Washington. I don't necessarily want to say Washington, but when you say the federal government, then it puts the blame squarely where it belongs. And there's no question about, where and who you were accusing. It was the federal government who got us involved in all these wars. And as I understand it, unless I'm wrong, Big Oil was not banging the drum for the Iraq War. Second Iraq War, because they don't need their stuff, they don't need their equipment blown up and destroyed, they don't need their employees kidnapped and or killed. I think it was more a question of the regime, the mentality of the regime, and the Cheney's, that son of a bitch, that devil. I think he was behind a lot of this. I think Bush was sort of the dope in the background, sort of like Reagan was. Reagan did his lines good. He was a good actor. But Reagan's performance record never, ever matched his free market rhetoric. In fact, taxes went up under Reagan. Withholding taxes went up. And shortly after St. Reagan assumed office, he pressured his Republican Congress to reluctantly raise the debt ceiling so that when St. Reagan, by the time that St. Reagan had left office, he had tripled or quadrupled the national debt. So he was a very big spender. He cut the rate, I think the projected rate in taxes, there were some tax cuts, but nothing on the scale that, is actually necessary, because Reagan was a statist, he said, he gave some pretty good speeches and they were laced with some libertarian rhetoric and free market rhetoric. But again, his performance record doesn't, it doesn't bear out. It doesn't come close, whatever their excuses are. You know, and of course, he signed that amnesty bill in 75 because he was supposed to get spending cuts out of the Democrats, or they were supposed to cut a deal with him somehow. You know, lo and behold, they didn't. Well, whoop-de-doo, big deal. I mean, surprise, surprise. But as far as this immigration mess, you know, obviously we need a good guest workers program. And we need to secure the borders. I'm not one that believes in open immigration, but I want to have a good immigration policy because we need these immigrants. And as far as the poor, downtrodden immigrants, you know, they're willing to do jobs that most Americans don't want to do. And these downtrodden immigrants, or you know, the poorer ones or the more desperate ones, they're happy to work for less and send money home. So there's a movie out. I guess I saw a clip of it or something. It's kind of humorous, but it's like A Day Without Mexicans. What would happen to our country without Mexican, you know, labor? And I don't have nothing against Mexicans. I would just rather reform the system. I think we need to get rid of the federal welfare state. I would adopt a very good guest worker program. I would grant amnesty, and I'd end the federal welfare state, and I'd still build a wall. So, and with that, I think the great Andrew is out there. Andrew, are you out there on line one?
Yes, I am here, PK. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I don't be hearing anything.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, did you turn off your radio? Well, I'm on my cell phone. It's not going to sound so good.
Oh, okay. Well, don't worry. Uncle Sam's listening anyway. They can listen every phone call, monitor every email.
They would be bored listening to me.
Yes, well, I'm sure
that's how Jefferson with information.
I'm sure that's how Jefferson and Franklin wanted it. They wanted all of our personal details and correspondences to be just wide open for the federal government.
Hey, yeah, that's true. That's true. See, I think that's right. I think that's exactly what they wanted. That's why they wrote the Constitution and said that it was a limit on government and not on the individual.
Why don't we start a total government party? We want total welfare. We want total government control. Be like tongue-in-cheek, probably get a lot of supporters. Well, yeah, I'll go along with that. Yeah, man, I got a job for life and free health care.
Sure. And you know the free health care is free. And you know what you get for free?
Rationing?
Nothing. Nothing in life is free. Hey, I got something to say about what you said about the Day Without Mexicans. Is that what it was called, the show?
Yeah.
Why don't they make a movie called A Day in the Life of America Without Entrepreneurs, or without small businessmen, or without white people, or without, let's make it, you know, if we want to be racist, let's be racist all the way.
A minute. Do you think Americans know what the word entrepreneur means?
Is
that a French word for manure?
Let's take all the white people out of America.
Did you see that commercial from this ad from, I think, the University of Minnesota or something about white people? It's like a guilt thing. They have all this stuff written on their faces. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's about privilege or whatnot.
Do they feel guilty?
Well, it's giving off this guilt kind of thing. It's just so stupid, you know. But I don't have any white guilt. But it's just funny to see that stupid, politically correct, incorrect, sappy thing. All these people with messages drawn on their faces, like with markers, not replicating tattoos at all. Just I have privileges. Yeah. I'm a white background. This and that. You know, it's just idiotic, stupid stuff.
How are they?
Apparently, I won't discuss it. But I had you wrong. That cell number was the wrong number. You wanted me to call the other one, which that would have been the home number.
Well, it'd be easier. It'd be a better reception.
Well, this is pretty good.
Oh, okay, good. I can hear you fine.
But what isn't good is, and I knew this was going to happen. I saw something else on it now. There's, what do they expect? I don't think the number, I don't think it was 30,000. I hope it's not. But in the next, 10 years or so, they're expecting, a couple of thousand or several thousand drones in our country, where almost every police department is going to have one.
Yeah, Yeah, I've read about that as well.
And now they have very small ones, too, that could probably fit in the palm of your hand. I mean, they could hover outside your window. They can, you know, go anywhere. What I really hope for is a scientific backlash against them, sort of like radar detectors or whatnot, where people could just have handheld devices that shoot them down or whatever, just take them right out.
Well, I don't know if you saw that a guy posted an article online, how to beat drones and their facial recognition systems and all the ways you can do things to completely blow them. You don't even have to touch them. Something having to do with batteries and pulsing, a type of light that you can put, like you wear a baseball hat and you have this battery inside the hat and the light flashes on and off. It's not a neon light. What's the light I'm looking for? All those little lights that have now, they're supposed to save energy.
You're not talking about electromagnetic irradiation or anything like that.
No. You know, like the lights you put on your Christmas tree. It used to be you had a light bulb, you could replace it. Now they're like these little tiny little lights that...
You mean like some of the lighting for bands have in those round canisters?
No,
they only draw
tiny
like 25 watts.
There's a word and I can't think of it right now and it's escaping me.
Not LEDs.
LEDs, yeah, an LED light attached to a battery stuck inside your head. It throws off the imaging software inside of the drones. It makes them short circuit.
So
I'm reading all these articles about how you can beat drones. I'm like, wow, it's so simple because the things are not really very smart.
Well, yeah, and then
you don't want to be shot at. You don't want to have somebody shoot a missile at you from one of them. But you know, if they're trying to recognize your face or follow you or something, you can throw them off. It's a very simple process.
Well, then those pricks in government will probably try to say – they'll probably try to enact laws. If anybody shoots down a police drone, you are facing this or this or this. But I would hope that there will be a Robin Hood-type characters will come into being that they're not identifiable, and they will start taking these things out.
Oh, well, that's the nature of innovation. There will always be a counter to the attack.
There's been military training. I think it was in Missouri recently or last week. Elsewhere where they're driving tanks, some tanks out and this and that. You know, it's like they're blurring the line between the police and the military. And tanks will tear the hell out of a road.
Oh, they will. The roads aren't designed for tanks, unless Hitler built them. He built them for tanks.
Tanks a lot. But anyway, I think what it really shows
is the ineptitude and the weakness of the police force and the government. They're becoming desperate. They're doing anything because they're so afraid of losing control of the situation because the economy and the monetary supply is becoming insane.
Well, I see a possible civil war, or you know, those who want to fight the government. But I think the government's gearing up to shoot American people, and that's why they want to use those FEMA camps.
Yeah, I think that's what they're gearing up for. Is what they're doing.
Plus, there's a lot of damn agent provocateurs, so you get those mixed in. You know. Phonies or police insiders, so you don't know who is doing what. So
false flag operations.
This drone thing is a problem that's going to get worse. I think a lot worse, and people don't realize how bad it is.
Hmm. Well, what do you do
when they can hover outside your home or your business, or hell, they could fly into your house if they found a way in.
I don't know. I've got a baseball bat. I'd knock them down.
Yeah, as if you see them.
Knock them out of the park.
Yeah, they're as small. They could fit inside your hand. I've seen some of the smaller ones.
Yeah, the ones with the little remote control, and you can fly them around. You have a remote control, and you can fly them into different places. Sure.
These micro technologies, and of course, most of the firms that are doing this rely on government contracts.
Yeah,
you know, because they're part of the whole defense national security apparatus.
Yeah, they're sucking off the government teeth.
I read there was like over 800,000 Americans, quote unquote, are involved in this whole national security thing, from different agencies to think tanks to all this kind of stuff, all involved in this national security state that this country's built for itself.
Security for who?
Yeah. For the state, for the central state,
it would seem.
No, man, it's pathetic. I hate it. And
yeah, well,
I don't see it getting better. Say what?
It's time to bug out. Go someplace where there's actually freedom still.
And that would be?
South America.
China. Yeah, unfortunately, China, you know, the U.S. Well, the U.S.
How about Cambodia? The Obama administration, or Mongolia?
The Obama administration and their military-industrial complex buddies, they're putting a new base in Chile.
Yeah, well.
Did you know that? That's one of the countries.
Everyone will ignore it, just like everything else down there. They ignore the police. They ignore the military there. They're actually cutting the umbilical cord to the military in Chile right now.
Well, that's good.
Chilean military, not to the U.S. military, but.
Right.
Yeah.
I see where that. Actually, Mexico has some good things about it. It's not over-regulating. It's not over-taxing. There's more companies that want to relocate there.
To where?
Mexico.
Yeah, you know, it's like companies who want to come here, they get a better deal than the American companies by going down there.
They say that Mexico has lower inflation. There's less red tape. There's less, you know, regulation, and that doesn't mean to spew more pollution per se, but you know,
sure.
As far as economic regulation and all that, there's less of it. I see where Brazil, you know, is a promising country, but they've raised taxes and regulations, so they're not going down the right path, even though they're part of the BRIC countries. You know, the up and coming Brazil, Russia, India, China.
Right. The BRICS.
I like the way that Russia stands up to the U.S. as far as, especially with Syria. I mean, the nerve of Hillary Clinton talking to Russia or China about civil rights abuses after what they did to Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and now Syria.
Yeah.
And Egypt.
It's quite a bit of hubris, don't you think?
Yeah, but I mean, where is it all going?
It's going nowhere. It's the American Empire, you know, flexing its muscles as it's been doing for the last 100 years.
Yeah, but it's sort of, you know, like the British Empire, the sun is going to set on the American one, like Ron Paul says. It's just a matter of time. It's going to collapse.
It's coming. It's happening now. It's the desperation they're showing right now. It really looks like desperation to me. You know, they have people everywhere. It's becoming more and more public. You know, when you see Hillary Clinton, you know, making her statements, you know, she's so smooth, and she's you know, barking up the tree trying to become the next president. I'm sure she wants to get involved in the presidential race.
But, I don't think she does, actually. I think she's tired and wants out. I don't think she's ever going to run. Do you?
Well, I don't know. There was a little bit of news, you know, going around how her husband's out there doing a little bit of checking around. He's sniffing around to see if there's a possibility for it.
Well, I know that they don't like the Obamas much. And it's funny that a couple weeks ago, Clinton kind of said, Romney's okay. He has, you know, he is a pretty good businessman. He is presidential. And that's
president.
Funny because the Obama administration
They're
didn't
president.
Like that. But it's still just the different puppets talking or fighting amongst themselves like Punch and Judy.
Yeah, it's the king of the rats.
The king of the rats. That's true. Have you ever seen the movie King Rat?
I think years ago.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. I found a copy of it for $5 a few years ago. George
That's
Siegel?
The one where they're in the prison camp and the guy sells the rest of them for food. He's the king of the rats. And then once they get out of the prison camp, he's not important anymore. He doesn't want anybody to escape or get away.
Not the guy who's doing the rat thing. He doesn't want anybody to get away. He's just messing with the hierarchy.
Okay.
The big shots. You know, he's kind of like the Colonel Hogan, you know. But it's worth seeing, and I don't want to give it away. But
okay.
I just don't like this whole drone thing. You know, if they can take out, you know, with no constitutional authority, you know, Obama's kill list, then that could mean here that, you know, even before we are able to, you know, knock these things down, that they could have a kill list here and take people out they don't like.
Of course.
Or even if they could make one shoot bullets, for example, you know, they could try to stage it like it was a drive-by or somebody shot somebody. There's no telling. what they'll finish doing. I know, I don't know if you heard this one, but I just learned this last month that, and it really angered me, that the CIA edited out numerous frames, probably 30 frames from the Zapruder film of Kennedy's assassination.
Right. I read
and
that article. Yeah.
Those bastards in the CIA, they removed the limousine's windshield, which had a bullet hole coming from the front. They replaced
wow.
the windshield.
Yeah.
And the federal government still, with its Freedom of Information Act, whatnot, they still don't want to release information on the Kennedy assassination. And I've never been one of these big Kennedy assassination buffs. My whole thing is the broader picture of what the CIA is up to and how they manipulate things.
Sure.
And I'm so aware of it now that when I watch TV like Fox or CNN, it's just so obvious how staged everything is.
Completely. Everything is staged.
So what do you think is going to happen in Tampa with the Ron Paul forces? Think they're making? You think they're going to make a little stink over there?
Who knows? I think the only thing that the mass media and the mindless media and the political correct crowd can do is they can do is ignore them, which they've been trying to do so desperately for the past few years. Yeah, you know, that's it. That's all they can do is ignore him. Pretend like he's not there. And, you know, he's like the stepchild in the corner where nobody wants to know who that guy is. Like, ooh, we don't know who that guy is, or the redheaded stepchild, however that
I just don't want them to kill him.
If they do, he's a martyr. That would be a rallying cry.
It depends.
I think they would be foolish, and they're trying to do anything to ignore him.
Right, but if they did try to kill him, it wouldn't make him a martyr the way they would try to do it. There would be a plane crash. There would be a car accident. There would be a heart attack.
Time.
You know, if there's a bullet, if it's clearly a shot or something like that, he's a martyr. But if it's a car accident, heart attack, a plane crash, you know.
Well, it's easier for them, these power elite, to ignore him or to call him, you know, treat him like he's the crazy guy. Oh, how could you imagine some guy wanted to pull back on the U.S. government power? We have terrorists everywhere. We got to protect our country. We got to protect our citizens. We got to protect the children. Come on. I mean, that guy's a wacko there. It's better to have him as that person than it is to kill him or get rid of him. I mean, to get rid of him, that's just it brings up too many conspiracy theories, too many things for people to talk about.
One thing they can't
that's
avoid.
That's how I
is,
see it.
What they
hey,
can't
wait a minute.
Avoid.
I got a question for you. Got a question for you. You didn't offer me a coffee or a tea.
Hey, that's right.
Oh, that's okay. I got a vodka with lime in front of me. Don't worry about it.
Is that what it takes?
For what?
If this was 1925, Elliot Ness could bust into your house, take all your liquor, arrest you.
I don't know. You know, Americans are very well armed these days. It wouldn't be so easy to break in.
I'm talking about if this is 1925 when they had even more weapons. Elliot Ness could just bust into your house, take your liquor, take you away.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I used to think that was a pretty cool show when I was a kid, but now I can't stand what Elliot Ness stood for, except anything that had to do with, you know, extortion or that sort of thing, but nothing to do with, you know, alcohol prohibition.
Just people enjoying themselves, making their own personal choices. Not harming anyone else.
That's right, unless you're, you know, drunk driving or whatnot, but we'll just deal with those individuals and leave everybody else alone.
There you go.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens with this drone thing about maybe there'll be a Bill Gates of the, like a, in Atlas Shrugged, Ragnar, whatever, I can't pronounce that Scandinavian last name, the pirate.
Oh, yeah. Dagaskild.
Or a scarecrow of Romney Marsh taking out these
there
damn drones.
Yeah.
Because that'll be something.
Like I said, the information's already out there. How to take care of the drones, how to get them off your back, how to confuse them, how to throw them off your track. It's all out there. So the information is out in the ether. It's out in the internet. It's all you have to do is look it up. Of course, when it was written, by a guy who said, "Hey, don't take this. Don't do what I tell you. That's what I'm doing right here. This, I'm just telling you how this stuff works." He says, "You know, I'm not advising that anybody actually, you know, go out and try this stuff."
Right.
Caveat.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're trying to get a hold of Julian Assange still, who was in, you know, house arrest in Britain.
Who's trying to get a hold of him?
Well, the U.S. wants his ass. So,
by what right?
But they want to take him to face supposedly sex rape charges or whatever in Sweden, which I think is very trumped up. So
well,
they think that if he was there, it'd be easier to extradite him for that. I don't know. I thought Britain had an extradite treaty with the U.S.
I think they do. What the guy should do is go to Brazil.
I don't know if they'd
have
him.
They have no extradition laws there at all.
Oh, really?
Or anything. Yeah, Brazil.
Well, he's got to get there from Britain.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
That's true.
That's why the regime doesn't like him, because he was, you know, starting to release more of their so-called private documents and talk about some transparency, although some people thought he was a shill, but I don't think so.
Who knows?
Do you listen to Alex Jones much?
No, not recently.
He's on radio here now in the afternoons. I'm surprised he gets away with what he gets.
Radio.
I'm surprised he gets away with what he gets away with, but he still doesn't crack on Israel or Zionism very hard at all. And he's married to his wife is either Jewish or part Jewish. But he talks about everything, but he keeps his claws off of that pretty much.
It's a touchy subject. You got to be careful with those guys.
Well, it's getting less of a touchy subject, and more people are waking up to it, especially with this economy. They don't want to give this money away. And it's good to see Israel with its back against the wall.
Well, it's almost scary to have them with their back against the wall with the nuclear weapons they're holding.
Yeah, with their Samson option, which is that if they're going down, they're going to take everybody else with them.
Yeah, and that's creepy.
You know, they got 200 to 300 nukes, and they're pointed, easily pointed at Rome, London, Moscow, Beijing. And Germany keeps giving them free nuclear submarines.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know, partly out of the German guilt thing. Although, as far as this Holocaust thing, of which there's a lot, sure is a hell of a lot of Holocaust survivors, that Russia has just coughed up some of the records from the German camps, because the Germans kept highly detailed records. You know, that's a country of detail and attention to detail and technology and innovation. Anyway,
extremely detailed. Everything was written down. Everything was kept a record. There was a record of everything.
The deaths of the people, their names, their religion, what they died of. You know, these documents are starting to surface. So, and again, I would be foolishly called a Holocaust denier. I'm not denying that millions of people died, but I'm talking about how specifically did they die. When you see those horrific-looking stacks of bodies outside the camps, of dead, stripped bodies, they're not riddled with bullet holes.
No.
They died from starvation, disease, mostly typhus, forced labor, deportation, and war. And the crematoriums were there to dispose of the dead bodies. But as far as throwing live people in the crematoriums, that might have happened, but that was not their main purpose. And the gas chambers, so-called gas chambers, were for delousing bedding and clothing because they had a tremendous problem with typhus spread by lice, which is also why the inmates' heads were shaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very gaunt-looking picture when you see it. And I'm sure there was a stench and everything else. Plus, sometimes the ground was frozen. They couldn't bury these other dead bodies. But that's, you know, and you see at the camps when they're liberated, you see all these emaciated stick figure people in the camps. Well,
right.
Okay, but why aren't they just killed? Why are they still there? Why aren't they just all machine gunned? Because that's not what happened. That was not the general program of how it happened. Yes, there was injustices and there was some murder and genocide. I'm not denying that at all.
That's war.
As a policy,
it was all over the place.
I mean, there wouldn't be so many Holocaust deniers if the policy was to kill everyone, to exterminate everyone.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to say so. But I haven't been haven't clashed on this or been challenged on it yet. But if I ever am called anti-Semitic, I would say, well, yeah, I like the new definition. Would that be the new the modern day definition of anti-Semite, which is a person that Jews don't like? Basically, that's what it boils down to. Had you heard that one?
That's a pretty good one. That's a nice, yeah. No, I like that one.
And that's not even meant to be a joke.
Really
that is something that I've heard.
It's not about.
Of course, I'm still a big fan of Brother Kapner, who was raised Jewish, and now he's got the Eastern Orthodox getup on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've seen that.
But
guy.
He also likes Putin in Russia because Putin stands up to the Zionist crowd, very powerful international global Zionism, and anti-Zionist Jews stand up to it also. The YouTube has a lot of anti-Zionist Jews speaking and whatnot on there.
They just don't get the mainstream press that the other ones do.
One good guy is his name is Gilad Atzmon. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was an Israeli. He had to serve in the military, which he didn't like it. He's quite an accomplished jazz saxophone player. He's probably mid-50s, but he moved to England. And he's recently written a book called The Wandering Who instead of The Wandering Jew.
Yeah.
And it's an introspection at Jewish identity politics. He really, you know, he really pulls the curtain down.
Wow.
Yeah. So the difference between me and the Romney and Obama supporters is, unlike the Romney and Obama supporters, I still continue to that I do not see the emperor's new clothes.
Yeah. I don't see
the emperor's new clothes. Those supporters do.
Yeah, well, I think they're delusional. But that's a mass delusion, the madness of crowds. You know, people love to follow along. They don't like to think too much most. You know, we got lots of sports in this country right now. It's no different than ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Except we got a lot more modern conveniences. You know, we have cars. We have, you know, indoor plumbing everywhere. We've got electricity to turn our lights on. Otherwise, this is ancient Rome all over again. And that's kind of how it was designed to be.
You think?
I see it. A totally different subject, but yeah. Every Western government has been trying to recreate Rome since the day of Rome.
You mean the ruling elite?
The days of the fall of Rome.
Well, Mussolini tried to do that, not very successfully.
What's that?
Mussolini tried to do that to reestablish the glory of the Roman Empire, you know, when he invaded, like, Libya and, you know, of course, Ethiopia.
So did the British.
Say what?
I'm losing you there. I've got a bad connection.
When Mussolini invaded Libya and, you know, Ethiopia, he went to try to reestablish Roman, you know, empire-type glory.
Right. But it was the same thing in Russia at the time. You know, they were trying to recreate Rome. They were trying to control it. They were conquering all the countries around them, trying to organize things and tell people how they're going to live, and they were going to pay, you know, to the Tsar, to Caesar, to whoever the leader was at the time.
However,
Tsar is just another word for Caesar. Kaiser is another word for Caesar.
I still like the lines from the life of Brian where they're talking about the Romans. What have the Romans done for us? Well, they built us roads and gave us a language.
Really.
There are some funny aspects in there too. So anyway, see that my time has run out here, Andrew, but I'm glad that you came back on Third Stream View. I'm sorry I didn't offer you a free cup of tea or coffee.
Yeah, next time bring it vodka. Vodka.
Vodka. Is that what you're into these days, vodka?
It's a little, it's an after-dinner drink.
Really?
A little thing,
no,
you know,
vermouth
late at night.
For you? Or brandy?
Yes, that would be nice. That's a nicer offer. It loosens the tongue, opens up the mind.
Well, I haven't heard it put
like
that
other,
way.
Like other things do.
Very funny.
You could offer me a cigar or some other form of smoke. That would be nice as well.
Say what?
You could offer me a cigar or another kind of smoke.
Yes. Well, no cigars for me. No tobacco for me, thank you very much.
Yeah.
But once again, Andy, thank you for coming on to Third Stream View and putting your two cents in. We hope, let's hope we can get rid of these damn drones. This is a problem.
Yeah, good idea.
This is a problem. And
There are answers. It's all online. It's out there.
Don't forget, I predict, anybody can make a prediction. I get it. But I predict that this whole drone thing in domestic areas is going to get worse. And hopefully, if they come up with the technology for us to take them down, they're going to enact legislation against it.
I don't doubt it. And I guess once the legislation is enacted, the terrorist attacks on the drones will increase.
Yeah, let's hope so. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Thanks again, Andy. This is your host, PK, here at bbsradio.com for my show, Third Stream View, which is on every Monday evening at 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern. And until next week, good night, everyone.